Today in Science from Wired.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. You know, some things take a lot of work, like sending little robots to far-off distant planets. And just as that's challenging, so too is running a successful e-commerce business, especially when there's so much to do. So I want to introduce you all to ShipStation. Now, I love using ShipStation because of its easy-to-use dashboard, which makes managing orders and printing labels a breeze and super smooth. Oh, and the customer service is just out of this world. It's exactly what you need to help grow your business. Sign up for your free 60-day trial at ShipStation.com/technews. That's ShipStation.com/technews.
Hey, Fidelity. What's it cost to invest with the Fidelity app?
Start with as little as $1 with no account fees or trade commissions on U.S. stocks and ETFs.
That's music to my ears.
I can only talk.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Zero account fees apply to retail brokerage accounts only. $0 commission applies to online U.S. equity trades and ETFs and retail Fidelity accounts. Sell order assessment fee not included. Some account types and securities excluded. Details at fidelity.com/commissions. Fidelity Brokerage Services LLC, member NYSE SIPC.
Here's today's spoken edition of Wired.
How Dark Matter Physicists Score Deals on Liquid Xenon by Sophia Chen. If you want to build and run a $70 million dark matter detector, you're going to have a hefty shopping list. You'll need to buy hundreds of photomultiplier tubes, set up elaborate electronics, and pay graduate students for starters. And 20% of your cash is going to go to just one thing, xenon gas. You'll need 200 steel bottles of the stuff, purified from the Earth's atmosphere, at a price that can fluctuate wildly around $100,000 a bottle. Oof. The physicists working on a project called Lux Zeppelin discovered this in 2015 when they were developing their budget. The group is currently installing a giant dark matter detector underground in a former mine in South Dakota, where they hope to catch a glimpse of a hypothesized dark matter particle called a WIMP. And the xenon bills? Ouch. No, we don't get a break because we're poor starving scientists, says physicist Murdoch Gilchrist. Of the 250-member experiment, only a handful of companies produce xenon gas globally by extracting it from the air at so-called air separation plants. Xenon makes up about 0.00001% of Earth's atmosphere, a concentration comparable to a pot of soup seasoned with a single grain of salt. For these companies, xenon production is just a side gig, amounting to pocket change. Their more lucrative product is pure oxygen, which the steel industry buys to power their furnaces. Nobody builds a plant just for xenon, says Richard Betzendahl, a gas industry consultant and distributor. There's no economics in that. But it's the lifeblood of dark matter experiments. Over the last decade, physicists have built increasingly gargantuan detectors filled with cooled, liquefied xenon to search for dark matter, a hypothesized substance that physicists think makes up 85% of the universe's mass, according to decades of telescope observations. The detectors sense flashes of light that should appear when a dark matter particle bumps into a xenon nucleus. They've chosen to use xenon because it's not reactive, which means less noise in their detector, and because it has a large nucleus, which makes it easier for dark matter to hit. When Lux Zeppelin starts taking data in 2020, it will need 10 tons of xenon. They'll purchase xenon gas, purify it even further, and liquefy it for their detector. Other groups, like the Xenon Collaboration based in Italy, are planning even bigger detectors. The more xenon you use, the more likely you'll catch a dark matter particle. Several years ago, Gilchrist's group did the math. The world produces about 40 tons of xenon a year. Lux Zeppelin needed about a quarter of the world's yearly production. Then they went shopping. They started by hiring Betzendahl as a consultant. "I didn't know much about the xenon market," says Gilchrist. "Xenon, it turns out, has a variety of uses ranging from the mundane to the cosmic. Light bulb manufacturers put xenon gas inside incandescent bulbs to make the tungsten filament last longer. Space missions also use xenon as rocket fuel to launch satellites. They've also learned that they needed to time their bid just right. The price of xenon peaks and falls like a seismograph. It can be 10 times what it was the previous year, says Betzendahl. That's because, in recent years, companies have developed, adopted, and abandoned new technologies that require large amounts of xenon. In 2008, Toshiba ordered a quarter of the world's xenon supply for a new semiconductor technology, which caused the price of xenon to increase tenfold. Then they figured out how to do it with a lot less xenon, and the price collapsed again, says Betzendahl. Today, prices are rising, perhaps because Samsung has started buying xenon for a new etching technology. So Gilchrist's group, on Betzendahl's recommendation, asked companies to deliver the xenon over several years. Lux Zeppelin gets its money from the government in batches. A few million the last 3 years. Even if we had the money to buy it all at once, it was very clear that it would disrupt the market, says Gilchrist. They also had to buy the xenon from multiple companies, largely based in the U.S. and China. And because of Betzendahl's advice, and maybe just luck, they managed to buy most of their xenon when prices dropped. Gilchrist is done buying xenon, at least for a few years. But physicists are pondering the construction of more xenon-based dark matter experiments. The PandaX experiment in China is planning to build a detector containing 4 tons of liquid xenon. The XMAS collaboration in Japan aspires to build a 20-ton detector. Xenon has broached the possibility of a 50-ton detector. Gilchrist has asked one of his xenon dealers how that purchase might work. The verdict? It'll be really hard to get 50 tons of xenon, he says. They'd have to buy it in batches again, over a longer period of time, and hope they can buy it all at a fixed price. Even though physicists want more of it, it's unlikely that companies are going to churn out significantly more xenon, says Betzendahl. In the 3 years or so it takes to plan and build a plant with xenon extraction capability, xenon prices could plummet. Lots of air separation plants don't even bother extracting xenon and just let the gas escape back into the atmosphere. And xenon customers don't have a lot of options. Some people in the xenon industry have toyed with the idea of extracting it from natural gas, where it occurs in higher concentrations than regular air. But right now, air separation plants are literally the only way to harvest xenon, says Betzendahl. In the early days of the Lux Zeppelin experiment, Gilchrist's group actually considered building their own xenon production plant. Worried about the fluctuations in the xenon market, they wondered if they could just do it themselves. Admittedly, it was a stab in the dark, says Gilchrist. They asked some engineers to estimate how much it would cost. It just was not feasible, says Gilchrist. It was many tens of millions of dollars just to set up the plant. And you have to design it. Where would it go? And then you actually have to run it. You know what I mean? You're certainly not going to compete with people who do this as an add-on to a much larger market. On the bright side, dark matter experiments don't consume xenon. The 10 tons just stay in the detector, inert in Lux Zeppelin's detector for its 5 years of operation. Someday they'll have a lot of product to sell on the market, says Betzendahl. They could recycle the xenon in another experiment, or they could hoard it and wait for the price to spike again.